Constant Wonder Kids is a Constant Wonder podcast.
Hi, Wonder Kids. It's Paige. As you know, we talk about awe and wonder all the time on this show. Our Constant Wonder Kids team believes that when we interact with animals, plants, beautiful places, and incredible people, we can enjoy a sense of wonder. That feeling that makes you go, wow. When was the last time you felt wonder in the natural world? A few days ago, I was driving through Snoqualmie Pass in the Cascade Mountains. It had just rained, so it was foggy, but the sun was coming out, illuminating the mossy green trees and rocky sides of the mountains. The roads through the pass curved around the mountains and let me look out across a valley with a beautiful lake in the middle. There were even little waterfalls dripping down the sides of the rocks. That was a moment that really made me think, wow. Today's guest knows all about these wonder moments in the natural world, and she likes to pay special attention to them.
I feel that nature inspires wonder in me in a way that nothing else quite does. It's just incredibly beautiful. It's perfect. It's infinitely complicated. But we get to look at it. We get to smell it and touch it and even taste it and listen to it.
This is Anne Fadiman. She is a writer and reporter, and in a lot of her work, she explores the idea of awe and wonder. Anne's interests don't just focus on one topic. She thinks about wonder as she helps animals, reads about Antarctic explorers, and even interacts with her own family. Anne believes that wonder can help us appreciate the good, even in tricky situations. One of her earliest memories experiencing this was when she was homesick as a little girl.
This is an early memory from when I was 5 or 6. My mother was a great nature lover, and we always had a bird feeder, and she taught us the real names of the birds and butterflies and flowers and trees and so on. But I remember once having a really bad flu-y cold one winter. And of course, the standard treatment is to, you know, bundle your little child up in bed and not let them get out of bed and so on. But my mother had noticed in the snow, not right next to our house, in a tree, that a baby owl was sitting. And she decided that that was just what I needed. And so she wrapped a blanket around me and carried me outside in the snow to look at that baby owl. Now, I wish I could say that my fever instantly broke. I think it probably didn't. But that owl was curative in another way. It simply brought me out of my miserable Kleenex-filled bed and into a world of wonder and beauty. And looking at that baby owl, I just thought it was the most amazing thing I'd seen in my entire life.
Not only did seeing this baby owl help Anne in the moment, but it became a special memory for her and her mother.
I think that that baby owl was part of an early love of nature that has just been at the core of so much of what I love since, and also was at the core of my relationship with my mother. And I, decades later, when I was an adult, she would often say, "Remember the baby owl?" And it was like this little code thing that we had in common, this precious memory that no one else had experienced, but that we had experienced together. And it was not just a way of saying, "Remember that cool thing that we did when you were little," but remember how helpful nature can be in times of stress.
Has there ever been a time when something from the natural world has helped you when you felt stressed or sad? Anne has kept this idea of wonder helping in times of stress in mind throughout her life. She's even noticed it in her work studying Antarctic explorers who set off on grand expeditions over 100 years ago.
It is an obsession. I have what used to be a single shelf and is now a rather appalling number of shelves about Arctic and Antarctic.
One of Anne's favorite Antarctic explorers is a man named Edward Wilson. In him, she sees a kindred spirit who understands feeling a sense of wonder in the natural world.
Edward Wilson is my absolute favorite from that group of Antarctic explorers. Once, when he was in Antarctica, he had a pet baby penguin, and he would arise several times during the night and pre-chew seal meat in order to feed the baby penguin. Now, that is certainly a form of love.
Wait, so he would chew up seal meat and then spit it out to feed a baby penguin? That seems kind of strange to me. But Anne thought that it sounded like something she would do.
When I read that about him, I thought, I really understand this person. And then I read a long out-of-print book about him that said that when he collected eggs as a boy growing up in rural England, that he would never take the whole clutch of eggs. He would often just take one out of a larger clutch because he didn't want the mother bird to come back to her nest and find that all of her eggs were gone. And I thought, this is someone who really, really connects with the natural world in the most beautiful way. And I can do so through him.
Edward Wilson's journeys through Antarctica were not easy. He was often trapped aboard a ship in the dark and cold, stuck with other bored and freezing sailors. In these difficult circumstances, the crew worked together to maintain a sense of wonder.
A lot of previous expeditions to the Antarctic and also the Arctic had had real psychological problems during the months when there was no sun. And you couldn't explore during those months, so you were just stuck, either iced in on a ship or freezing in a hut that you'd built. And so how to keep people's spirits up? They had a huge library, they had some musical instruments, they had costumes, they put on plays. Everybody could contribute. So whether you were one of the leaders or whether you were one of the humble seamen, you were permitted to try to contribute, but it was pretty competitive. Only the best stuff got in.
As a writer, Anne was particularly interested in a little newspaper periodical, or collection of writings, that the men would print during these difficult months.
The South Polar Times was produced on both of Scott's expeditions, first on shipboard and then in the hut where they overwintered. It was hand-typed and hand-illustrated and then passed around by the men. The illustrations by Edward Wilson were gorgeous. He called his illustrations of birds attempts to praise God. It had the smallest circulation of any periodical in the world. And yet, compared to any periodicals with circulations of millions upon millions, I don't think that any other periodical was more appreciated than the South Polar Times, which was published only during the months when there was no sun and was designed essentially, as Scott said, to light us up from within when there's no light without. It was the notion that keeping people intellectually on their toes would prevent their spirits from sinking, and I think it absolutely worked.
Anne remembered the power of wonder when she and her family were experiencing lockdown during the COVID-19 pandemic. Even though they couldn't visit with lots of other people to prevent spreading the sickness, her family was able to create special memories of wonder together. One of these memories was making music with her mother-in-law, who lived nearby.
One very important person in our family group was my husband's mother, who lived in a nearby retirement community, and our son would pick her up several times a week, and she would come to our house, and we would play music. She had at one point been a guitar teacher, and our son is now a professional musician. My husband has a really beautiful voice. And, you know, I accompany them on the recorder at approximately third grade level. But everybody else in the family is pretty darn musical.
At this point, Anne's mother-in-law had a condition called dementia, also known as Alzheimer's. Dementia is when a person's brain has trouble remembering, thinking, or understanding things the way it used to. It mostly happens to older people, and it can make everyday things harder, like remembering names, finding words, or knowing what day it is.
My mother-in-law was in the very first stages of dementia, and there was a lot that she could no longer do, including play the guitar, but she could still play the harmonica. And it was as if all of her cognitive problems just disappeared. And I have such happy memories of those musical evenings during the pandemic.
A few years later, when her mother-in-law's dementia was even worse, those musical memories continued to help Anne and her family.
Jumping forward a few years, another time when she was isolated, but when music de-isolated her in the later stages of her Alzheimer's, when she was in a memory care unit, whenever my husband and I would visit her, George would bring a guitar and we'd sing. And even though she couldn't really put together a coherent full sentence when she spoke, she could remember lyrics and she could still sing. Once she simply picked up a harmonica, which we'd brought just as almost a prop, we didn't think she could still play it, and just started playing Amazing Grace. And it was really a moment of amazing grace. It was as if on some sort of soul level, she remembered the things that would be most useful to her at the moment, and they weren't words, they were music.
Watching her mother-in-law play a song on the harmonica, even when she couldn't speak, was a moment where Anne felt a sense of wonder. It might seem random that you can feel wonder looking at a baby owl, reading about old-timey Antarctic explorers, and caring for an aging relative. But to Anne, it makes sense that wonder ties all of these experiences together. When we take the time to observe the world around us, we can allow a sense of wonder to transform even difficult times into moments where we think, wow. So the next time you're stuck somewhere, look around and see what you can notice. Your next moment of wow could be just around the corner.
Wonder is a feeling that you can explore with people you love.
A quick word for you parents. I'm Marcus Smith, host of Constant Wonder, which is the source of material for Constant Wonder Kids. We made this episode because Constant Wonder contains a lot of great stuff we know kids are going to love, but you may be wanting more. We've got a whole episode devoted to Anne Fadiman and her various experiences with awe and wonder. If you want to hear the full presentation, go find Constant Wonder wherever you get your podcasts. It's called Audio Expeditions, Travel Back in Time and Across the Globe. We actually think you're going to love more than just one episode of our podcast, which is an ongoing quest to find awe and wonder in all nature, human or wild, vast or small, the kind of encounters that move us beyond words. Remember when you had time for wonder? Well, we think you still do. Subscribe to Constant Wonder on your favorite platform. Constant Wonder Kids was produced by Paige Crumperman Darrington, with sound design by Mitchell Towsley. Tenery Taylor is the executive producer. Constant Wonder Kids is a production of BYU Radio.